Book of Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses from 21 to 26. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in a danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in a danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire or Gehenna. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time thy adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now we see that the Lord continuing his sermon on the mount, speaking to his disciples, and which is actually connected to the sixth commandment out of ten. So what was that is that thou shalt not kill. So in verse 21, the middle portion, thou shalt not kill. In the first time it was recorded in the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, God gave it to Moses. He said, thou shalt not kill. But in the Old Testament, they have only followed that verse literally, that they should not kill. So if anybody kills by accidentally or intentionally, there are some provisions what God has made. There are cities of refuges. So then they can go and take the shelter there till the judgment is passed by. Once the judgment is given, then it will be executed, the judgment. Now we see here that connecting to what is said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. But the Lord's meaning in giving that commandment was entirely different. So in the New Testament, if anybody does not love his brother, in 1 John we see that he is a murderer. So that is the very high standard of the New Testament life. But even here, while he was talking to his disciples, which is so far the Lord has not completed his work, but he wanted to bring to their attention when God said, thou shalt not kill, the meaning of that one. So nobody just immediately do not want to kill a person right away. Then Lord explained how the stages move in the heart of a man to reach to a state where man would attempt to kill or kill the person ultimately. So then he explains in the following verses. So when the Lord gave the commandment, thou shalt not kill, so he also includes or implies that the heart of a man which may lead to that state ultimately, and man involves in that killing. But in the New Testament, the Lord has much more higher standards of saying, if you do not even love, then that will equals to that. So that means our hearts are so much to be purified, kept in proper manner, in relation to God and in relation to man. And both the commandments, thou shalt love thy God and also thou shalt love thy neighbor. And both will be completed when we maintain our relationship on a platform where God wanted us to be. But when he said in verse 21, you have heard that it was said, so that means when the time of the Lord, the education was not the way it is now. And people go to synagogues every Saturday, Sabbath day. And scribes used to read the portion and explain them. Then that is how the Lord said, meant, you have heard. So it was not read. They did not read. They were believing what the scribes were telling them or the teachers were telling them. But till recently also, about 150 years ago, even in our vernacular languages, the scripture was not available. Only God used William Carey, that he has come to India and translated the Bible and has brought it into such kind of a wonderful effort. And Lord made this provision of giving Bibles their own languages. Up to that point of time, we were also not having that kind of a privilege. So 200 years ago, only people were hearing. 500 years ago, when Martin Luther, the first time he attempted and brought out the things that just shall live by the faithfulness of God, many people don't know how to read and write. So from the beginning, that is how the enemy also used it as a ploy. People were not able to read. Only the teachers, the few people were able to read, and those who are able to read, they were communicating the things. And when they communicated, and it doesn't mean that they have communicated what was exactly the truth. Whatever they understood, whatever it looking good for them, they have interpreted that and they communicated. And even today, that is how in many places that it was not properly interpreted. So because there is always a human element and their weaknesses, and whatever is not suitable, convenient for them, they wouldn't do it properly. So very rarely we see people that wholeheartedly, even if they are failing to do, they would interpret the word the way it ought to be. And also now it has given another responsibility to the people. God has made that provision of people who are now equipped to read and write. So they have a responsibility individually to read the word of God, understand the word of God, and whatever they don't understand, they need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord what it means for them. And that is how there will be a great blessing. But in the Old Testament times, that was not the case. That is why the Lord has to tell that. You have heard that it was said by them of the old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill be in danger of judgment. So if anybody kills the brother, then there is a danger of judgment. Then there are cities which are protecting them till the judgment is delivered. So that judgment, Moses has arranged 6 cities to shelter till the judgment is executed. But there is also another thing, and the courts are established by Moses, that smaller courts and also bigger courts. And everything according to the pattern what was shown to Moses on the mount. So that means there are courts in heaven. For example, in the book of Job chapter 1, when God was sitting on his throne and the angels came and started giving an account. And there are angels in the court of God. So then he will execute. And similarly, when we see during the Ahab, king of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and who will inspire Ahab to go to war, then there are angels telling that we will go. So there is a court in the heavenly places. Also in Psalm 82, Psalmist was referring to the courts where the angels were there. In all these things, whatever Moses was shown by God, accordingly in the time of the Old Testament in the land of the Israel, the courts were arranged. So for the smaller matters, there is a lower court. For there is a bigger matter, there is a Sanhedrin, which is like a Supreme Court. So whatever they were not able to handle at a lower court, then the case is transferred to the Sanhedrin, which is the higher court. So accordingly, the judgment will be given. Now he is saying, if you have heard by the old time that thou shalt not kill, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And either in the lower court or in the higher court, the judgment will be passed if anybody has committed sin. Verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, in some versions, without is removed. Without a cause is removed. So there is no that verse. But since it is there, we will take that one. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in a danger of judgment. So in the Old Testament, if anybody killed a brother, then only they will come under the judgment. Now in the New Testament, if anybody is angry without a cause with someone, then they are under judgment. Then second, and whosoever shall say to his brother, fool, shall be in a danger of council. That is a little bigger court. So even if you say outwardly that you are saying you are fool or you are good for nothing, you are useless, you cannot do anything, even if you say that one, because of that word, he will come under judgment. And third thing, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in a danger of hellfire. So that is much more dangerous. So there are three things which he was mentioning. In the first verse, thou shall not kill. In verse 22, he is explaining the situation where that will lead to the killing. So now, it starts all with the resentment in the heart, which leads to anger in the heart. So when I have a resentment or anger in my heart, and I don't think that anybody can recognize, I can just maintain as if my heart is stable. I am not resentful. I am not angry. I don't know whether you have that kind of a situation in your heart, or you don't know that. Whenever you are angry, then you are burst out. So if you are angry, and how will you come under judgment? Because my anger is known to me in my heart, and I have not expressed that anger or a resentment towards anybody yet. And even if I am angry, and I don't think any court here on the land, on the earth, will be able to charge me because of my anger.
But God sees our heart, so...
So it is, in the judgment comes, that means in the court of God. So I have a resentment in my heart towards someone, which cannot be measured by anybody outside. And definitely, obviously, the earthly courts will not be able to find that one. And they cannot charge me. So there will not be judgment on the earth. But if I have a resentment and anger in my heart, and that will be considered as a chargeable offense in the court of God. So the standard, you see there, if you kill, then you are under judgment. But here, if you are having a resentful heart towards anyone, that comes under a charge to be judged. Then when it comes to the New Testament and under grace, where the Lord quickens the hearts of the disciples, and when we are all quickened by the Spirit to come to the understanding of the New Testament, then how we need to function when we see, it is a very, very different standard.
So, Uncle, whether it is without cause or with cause, in both cases, the Lord is expecting not to have any kind of resentment if I really will have to be a follower of the Christ. Is that true?
Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verse 25 and 26.
Ephesians 4:25-26?
Yes, you can read.
Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
So here he said, you can be angry, but your anger should not go, continue till before the sun go down. You should have that maintaining the relationship. Your anger should not go, should not be there. And also, if your brother is offended because of your anger, you should also reconcile. So that is before the end of the day.
Right.
So if you have a cause to be angry, then your anger is also for a just reason. Not that because you are offended, that is why. It is because that you wanted to bring some kind of an encouragement to the brother. And in that case, then you have shown some righteous anger or godly anger towards a brother or a sister.
Okay.
That is a different thing.
Okay.
But not for something that you are offended in yourself.
Right.
I don't think that the Lord will accept that one. It is better than that time he will say, why did you not suffer for that? Why did you feel anger?
Right.
If I am offended, if I am getting angry, that means I am retaliating or reacting. Okay. That is not acceptable. But if I have a righteous anger for the benefit of my brothers, my brother or a sister in my anywhere, then if I show that kind of a thing, the Lord would accept that. But that all need to be settled down before the end of the day.
Right. So if that anger should not leave any kind of bitterness in the heart, even if it is righteous, it should not leave any bitterness.
Yeah. If bitterness is there, that is not righteous anger.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And that is how we need to maintain that kind of the fineness. That is, there is an offering called Thanksgiving offering, which is given in the evenings, which is made up of a fine flour and oil. So my heart should be, by the evening, it should have the nature of the fine flour. It is a meat offering, so it should be very acceptable, my heart state, before the sun goes down, towards God and towards people. Then only my prayer, the evening prayer, will be acceptable, or the offering will be acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One thing we should all remember, and normally when we are offended or when we don't like certain things, then we have a resentment towards that person. And that resentment is not measured by the humans. Nobody can measure that one. But God, who sees the thoughts of our hearts, then he would immediately sense that one. And if that is not gone, or not, we did not go to God with a repentance heart to overcome that nature, and because of that we are continually having a disturbed relationship with others and looking the people in a different way, then that will all be brought into judgment before God, though others may do not know. And that is how God is going to judge us. And when we are not careful about our life in maintaining with others, and we are not maintaining the good conscience before God and before men. Oh, Book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And it is the secrets of my heart is not known to anybody, and I have committed something, I have entertained resentment, I had a very disturbed heart or an opinion towards other people which is not expressed, and all those things will be brought out according to the judgment of God. Then the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So if I have a good feeling and no resentment carried towards my life, and or even if I had that, I overcame that and crucified that nature and learned to love my brothers and sisters, then the Lord blesses. And that day it will be made known. Then one more loss also I noticed in my life. If I continue to maintain a resentful heart in my heart, resentful heart state in my heart, then Holy Spirit, who wanted to dwell in me or to quicken my spirit and communicate with me and continually to talk to me and teach me and encourage me and to guide me throughout my day's work. And whenever I have this kind of a resentment or anger in my heart filled in, I lose the privilege immediately. He will not stay and dwell in a heart where that is kind of an anxiety, anger, resentment is brooding in. Both are contrary and opposite. The Spirit looks for a place where there is a tranquility, peacefulness, filled with love. And anger is just opposite of that, or resentment is just opposite of that. Then, you see, to bring back the spiritual relationship with the heavenly, holy God, then I lost the opportunity of few days. Then it is again 1 or 2 days, all right, but again going back. Then the relationship is in a roller coaster state. One day good, one day not good. And that is how in our lives there is no constancy in following the Lord and allowing or experiencing the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, because my heart state is not very conducive for Him to live in.
So, brother,
go ahead.
Can you hear me? So, if anyone of us, we have that kind of relationship, like one day on, one day off, like frequently having that type of relationship, can it be something where eventually it will lead to quenching of the Spirit?
Yes, because every time that whenever He wanted to come and communicate with you, and you are again going back to your old way of behaving, then you are just throttling Him. And you are not listening to Him. You are just overpowered by your old man. Then He feels very suffocated to communicate with you.
Yeah.
So that is not a good state for all of us to be found in. For us to be found in. So every one of us, we are forgetting that God is gracious and He forgives everything. That is true. I am not denying that one. But for a greater reward of loving, of expressing our love to the King and doing His commandments to enter into the kingdom, and this is the heart required to be maintained in our daily life. And if it is not possible, the Lord would not say. And if you have a desire, earnest desire to follow, and the Lord would help you by the power of His Spirit, and He will continue to prompt you, and He will tell you, hurry, this is not a good state of heart to maintain. You come out of that. Then when you go to the Lord, and your old man is, you are willing to suffer and to be put on the cross, then you will have a newness of life filled with love towards the people. See, why so much of our life, of spiritual Christian life, is become powerless?
Because we ourselves don't live that life as an example.
Yeah, and we are careless. Okay, the Lord will forgive. I come back and ask the forgiveness and that's fine. It is over. No, it is not over. Lord forgave you. I'm not saying the Lord will not forgive you, but the loss also you need to see. And how much blessed privilege you are missing. that he wanted to lead you and guide you every day, and that the privilege is lost. And those matters which we are trying to get angry at is petty and useless. Many times not worthy to be compared for the things which Lord is wanted to promise, Lord has promised it to us to give. So that means we are not understanding the value of our calling. Book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing. And he said, the Lord has visited him in the night. The night speaks of almost the most trying times of the day, of the life. And where you are quiescent in a difficult situation, and you are put into the most complex or the difficult stage of the life, the situation. That time the Lord tried his heart, David says. And when you have proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. That means there is no resentment, whether it is of Saul who was pursuing him towards him, or it is his own son Absalom has usurped the kingdom and dethroned him, towards both of them. And in my heart, he did not find anything. And how can a man who was offended, but yet not having any kind of a resentment towards the people? Not, he did not say anything yet. He said, in my heart, he did not find anything. But at the same time, he also was conscious about the weakness of his heart. And then he prays in chapter 19 of Psalms. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So the meditation about any person or a situation, if my heart is filled with something else, a resentment, anger, looking down or talking very differently about them, that is the meditation. Also, you will find it an offense. You can charge me if it is not right with you. Then Psalms 26. Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. So examination is an outward thing. Proving is an inward thing. So you see my heart outwardly, and also you go deeper into the thought line of that. Try my reins and my heart. And also trying is something putting a metal in a smelting. Whether they are saying that stainless steel 304 and without any alloy, it is 100% pure. It will be known only when I put it in the furnace. So in everything, outwardly, inwardly, by putting into the furnace fire, then you see the try my reins and my heart. So it is not only my heart, all the emotions, the seat of that reins, even that one you try. And in the Old Testament, these great men of God, and not having such kind of a revelation what was given in the New Testament, but yet because the way they ought to know God, they did know, then they know what is the preciousness and the holiness of God, and what kind of a relation should be maintained, what kind of a heart state is required to maintain that wonderful relationship with God, with all power. And they allowed God, Lord, you try my heart, examine me, prove me and try me, my heart and my reins. Everything, all the emotions and all the thoughts which may likely to come, then you just let me know if there is anything. And so many of our thoughts, and if God comes and examine me, I don't think that I will be able to say that my heart is so clean as you are expecting. So it is a continual battle for all of us. But at the same time, we cannot leave it to the enemy or anyone that to just leave it a defeated life. But the word comes to us time and again to bring to our attention what we are all supposed to and how we all supposed to live and exercise. And wherever we fail and whenever we are not able to show forth that kind of a strength, then the Lord be merciful upon us to come back and ask the Lord, Lord, live in me so that I may have the overcoming life working in my life. And instead of looking into me and my resentments and my thoughts, may be fully involved with to listen to the Spirit who is indwelling in me. And let him prompt me so that I may be guided by him. And whatever is my thoughts and my life which is trying to push me down, that I may be able to overcome because your power which is working in me, and that is more, and I learn to love that one. I learn to follow that one. I learn to listen to that one. Then my resentment, my anger, my feeling towards the brothers and sisters, looking them at differently is changed. Then there is a great blessing. There is a great power.
That's the verse in Romans chapter 5.
Romans chapter
20 and 21.
Where the life is reigning.
Now, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Yeah.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness. Some people, they quote this, that God is very gracious and all. But if you come to chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No, before go to chapter 6, I will just stay for a minute on 21 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, that is past tense, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So what is the tense there? Grace reigning? Or it is a present tense, or it is a present continuous thing? What is it?
Continuous.
Is the present continuous?
It is a present continuous tense. And present continuous tense means it is giving you license, that it is asking the grace, it is God is making a provision that grace is made available to allow the life of the Lord to reign in you.
Mm.
It is not that one day you live it and it is over.
Mm.
That is continuous. But the past is over. That is past tense. Reigned there. But it is going to reign here. The grace of God which is made available, and there is where the grace comes also. Grace is not only just forgiving the sin. Grace is also giving the life made available to reign the righteousness of life. So that is the one which people need to look at that. I cannot take that grace forgives me, but grace also equips me to reign the newness of life in every day. That is the power of that grace. If you take the grace only to forgive your sins and not asking the Lord for grace to overcome, to live that righteous life reigning in your life, that means you are not appropriating the provision what God has made it available to you. Then you go to chapter 6. Yes.
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Yes.
So chapter, the 20th verse, and
yes,
the 6th chapter, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Quoted a little differently. I mean, they say that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And
that
they
is,
say,
that is definitely for the forgiveness of sin. But that
right.
is not the state God did expect child of God to stay in forever.
So can we say the verse 5:20 is before salvation or at the time of salvation, and
yes,
6 is after salvation when we continue in after being baptized and after being saved?
That's right. And also after the salvation, whenever you committed sin, that is forgiven. But that is not the state God expected his children to stay or remain there. He right. wanted to, he wanted and he expected them, he encourages them to move into 21. Yeah. And also to chapter 6 verse 1. And in the same chapter, I'll read one more verse. Verse 17. Chapter 5 verse 17.
For if by one man's offense death reigned in one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
So what is that? Shall reign in life. That is a continuous thing. So death is over. Grace comes. Sins are forgiven. Now if a person has received the grace of God in experiencing the forgiveness of sins, then what will the state to be that person? He should reign in life, the life of Jesus Christ. Earlier, while he was in the state of the sin and not knowing the Lord, the death reigned in them. Now, once you come to know the Lord, the life of the Lord should reign in them. And that is present continuous.
Right.
Yeah. So, if they wanted to try to find justification, the grace is abounding, that is true. But he will remain as a person not following the Lord the way the Lord expected of him, and the Lord expected of us. Why don't we make it as a point, let the Lord's life reign in me, into the bottom of the kidney, the all my reins and my heart, feelings should come and generate from the reigning of that life.
Right. The reason I ask this is that because I was sharing something with someone about living a life after being saved, after you testify in baptism, because you're dead with Christ, you rise up with the resurrection. So again and again, if you do the same thing, yes, God is gracious, but you're living not a live life, not a death life, because you're dying and you're being. So the baptism itself, what you have testified, is brought at naught. So that person told in return is then, they said that means you're putting God's grace aside and you want to do on your own, by your strength, that you want to live a life. I said, it's not that, that I want to live with my strength or anything. God's grace is there for sure. It's a grace which gives us to resist the sin, to overcome sin. That's a grace which we get from God. But he said, but nowhere in your this thing you said that God is so gracious, and in this verse it's there that if they sin, it, then grace abounds. So, yeah.
That they are not looking at the victorious,
the overcoming life. Yeah,
overcoming life. See, sister, if I don't live that kind of a life, what the Lord expecting from me, and so much of it written in the New Testament is no need of writing. Just one sentence would have been all right for all of us. God loved you, saved you, and he will continue to save. That's it. All the epistles are writing about how we need to live our life. And it also says, then it is in verse 17, it is life reigning, that we should come into the experience of that. And also, if the people are saying that it is grace by which I... you are putting away grace aside. That is not true. My victorious life is not coming by my strength. Man cannot have an overcoming life by his strength or her strength. Mm-hmm. Man can have the victorious life or the overcoming life by the grace of God when you allow it to happen. No man can defeat the power of the enemy by his or her strength. It is the grace which also gives me victory. But to allow that grace to work in my life, God should see the platform. I should have an earnest desire to overcome that. God is willing to work in all of us. But if he doesn't see any interest for you to overcome the sin, I don't think that he will persuade you to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sorry, brother, if I sidetracked you.
So. No, that's fine. You know, this is okay. I'm coming back to chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 22. And there are other two things, and if I start now, that may not be, we may not be able to complete today. So we will stop here. And if anybody has questions, then we can take them.
Uncle, how were people saved before Jesus came in flesh?
Book of Romans, chapter 3. Verse 25.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God.
God hath set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So through the forbearance of God, whatever before Lord Jesus Christ appeared in flesh and blood and propitiated, that he forbore them because of the patience, because through the forbearance of God, that he just, I don't know how to say in English, but what I can say is, that means because of his forbearance, then he just put it aside. So it is, he would judge them, but not the judgment the way it is coming upon us now. That is not the case. So can somebody say, it is, if somebody can read in other translations, then that may give the correct meaning. If you have anybody other translations.
Can we say tolerated, Uncle?
So, Telugulo, ayana tharma orimi valana upekshinchinandana ani rasaru. Forbearance is orimi. Upekshinchadam ane daniki English lo ledu asalu ikkada maata. Romans chapter 3, 25 in Telugu.
For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past.
Yeah. So it is a little bit expounded. He said he did not punish them, those who did sin before the Lord came in here. In the margin of my translation, it is written like this. I will read it. Verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, became a passing over of sins done aforetime. So he passed over the sins which was done before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. So that is what it means.
The meaning of forbearance is the action of refraining from exercising a legal right, especially enforcing the payment of a debt. The restraining from payment of a debt, the debt of the sin.
That is forbearance, sister. But yeah. In English, my margin, my translation margin has added correctly. Now I put that one and read it so we can all understand that. And to declare his righteousness, up to that point it is correct. There is no difference. Then it said, because of the passing over of the sins aforetime. So he passed over those sins which are done before the Lord Jesus Christ came in. And why did he pass over is because of his forbearance. So the forbearance was shown that he is going to send his only son and his son will become a propitiation. Till that time, whatever the sins people have committed and not explicitly known the way of the salvation, the Lord has passed over all those sins done before his son appeared on the earth. Ritu or Hemant are there. They can read in that amplified Bible. So that will give much more clarity if anybody has that.
Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as the mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment.
Yeah. So that is clearly written. Because of his forbearance, then he has passed over all the sins aforetime people have committed.
Yeah, in Hindi also it is written, uncle, that Parmeshwar ne apni sahanshilta ke karan dhyan nahi diya.
Aye, dhyan nahi diya. There is also the same way written, but in English KJV that dhyan nahi diya, that total verse is eliminated.
Can we relate this verse to us before accepting Christ?
No, this is after before the Lord came in.
Yeah.
That's applicable to the people who has committed sin aforetime
before
the Lord came in. After the Lord came in, then everybody is brought under the judgment because of the Lord Jesus Christ already became a sacrifice.
But we don't know the truth, and we have committed, we lived the way we want. So how can...
The Lord has always, if you read Romans chapter 1, either the creation or if you have an earnest desire to know your true God, then the Lord has ample ways to declare his divinity to the desired soul. He has so Romans chapter 1 that is very clear on that.
Yeah, my question is that, uncle, before accepting Christ, even though, yes, in his sovereignty he revealed himself, but before accepting Christ, we have done so many things in
ignorance. Once you accept, that everything is forgiven. So after you accept the Lord, whatever the sins you have committed, they all are forgiven.
So can I relate that to whatever you sow, you reap? That will be reaped now? Whatever I did before, can it come?
It is all forgiven. The sins are forgiven. Before knowing the Lord, whatever the sins you have committed, when you come to know the Lord, all those sins are forgiven. The Lord will not take account of those sins which you have committed before accepting the Lord. Your sins are separated as far as from east to west.
You will not even remember them, I think.
I will not remember. I will never remember, he said.
I'll not remember them. But uncle, do we need to go through the consequences, even like whatever is committed before knowing the Lord? That's what she is asking.
No.
Exactly.
Consequences are after you became Christian, accepting the Lord, then those sins, you will have to bear the consequences. But what will come into play after we accepted the Lord? Your whole nature continues to prompt to do something after knowing the Lord also. What you have done before, then they will come under judgment.
Before knowing the Lord, whatever the sins we are committed, God forgiven and forgotten also.
Yeah, everything is over.
Yeah.
That account is closed.
Period. Forgiven and forgotten, both are done. But after becoming a Christian, those sins, when we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive, but those are not forgotten.
Yes, that's right. And that will be brought up.
So the sins of the people who lived before Christ's sacrifice, mm-hmm. the one in his forbearance he overlooked, mm-hmm. will those works come on the judgment day? Will they come for them to be judged? Will they be judged on those works?
Those works?
Because right now, yet
I don't think that for the salvation.
All right.
Yeah, it is in chapter 2, it is written. Chapter 2, verse 14. Romans chapter 2, verse 14.
For when the Gentiles who have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law,
These having not the law are a law unto themselves. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
So they may be doing certain things according to their conscience, but that is a different thing. So they cannot claim their sins will be forgiven because of their good works. And they will fail to, their conscience itself will put a charge on their hearts that they have not done correctly. So that is why nobody has got any standing for the forgiveness. Only the Lord, because of his forbearance, he can overlook them.
So that time they'll be judged as per their consciousness, what they had, what God had given them.
God is so harsh. I can't say harsh. He is so strict in Old Testament. When I come to New Testament, he is so gracious. Mm-hmm. As per the verse, I'm not a changing God. I'm same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Then how can I correlate that with the God's nature then?
In the Old Testament, it is shown that you live this kind of a life. For example, in the verses which we are now reading in Matthew 5, you shall not kill. But if a person does not kill, then it is, what is it making the man to come to the state of killing a person? It is the first starting with the resentment, then talking something badly about that person, then moving to another person, calling him differently. Then ultimately he is moving into an action. No, without having any kind of an action, these stages of his heart condition, he will not be moving into the action of killing a person. Then if unexpectedly but inadvertently, if he kills a person, that is called accidental murder. That is a different thing. But if anyone is premeditated murder, that is called number of degrees, they call it as a first degree murder, they call here. And that is because plotted, meditated, plotted and executed the killing. To come to that kind of a state in a person's heart, it is beginning with a resentment. That is how now God is started dealing with the heart. When he starts with a resentment, then anger, then harsh words, then he moves on to the next stage called that murder. So that is not a good thing. But when what the Lord is wanted to tell in the Old Testament also, when he said, thou shalt not kill, means whatever is your heart is moving to reach to that state of action, you should be careful in allowing that state not to come. But the Pharisees and the scribes never thought what is the spirit behind the letter. And the Lord now explaining what is the spirit behind that letter. In the New Testament also it is the same thing. Thou shalt not kill. The Lord said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. But in the New Testament, the Lord is explaining why man will reach to a state of killing a brother. It is all starting with a small resentment in a heart. The Lord is saying, you should not have even a resentment about a brother's heart, in your heart about a brother, which ultimately will lead to the bigger things and you will land in more problems. So you be careful in how you got your thoughts in your heart. Why are you allowing your heart so much of without any bridle, and you are allowing so much of freedom to on your thoughts, you rein in them. You should hold them tightly. Don't allow them to have any kind of different thoughts in your heart. So Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. In the New Testament, the Lord is going two steps backward and explaining to the people then what state it will all lead to, that state of calling killing. So he is merciful here. Now he is explaining us why we should, how a man can lead to that state instead of leading to that stage, you better guard your thoughts in your heart. Then there will be, you will not commit those blunders.